Welcome to Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. You have never heard of me. I am Nicholas Quirk, and through the aid of my youthful diaries, I am slipping back in time with you and my friend, Penny Parker.
January. I can't bear it.
It's dark, yes. Cold, yes. Dreary, end of Christmas month, isn't it?
It's so awful.
We've parted, we've had fun.
Yes.
But we're not about to have a season in the sun.
You, me and Terry Jacks are going to travel where?
We're going back to 1986, actually. It is January the 5th. It's actually a Sunday.
Oh.
But it was a day with some excitement, Penny, for me. Because I got up early to be ready for Mr. Bedford.
I know, I'm scared.
Who's Mr. Bedford, I hear you say. Well, I describe Mr. Bedford a little bit later on. But let's put this in some perspective, shall we? It's the new year of 1986.
86.
At the end of 1985, I moved down to Brighton.
Well, on a permanent
basis? On a permanent basis. Right. I'd originally planned that I would be going and living in Paris.
Of course.
But that never happened.
Oh, yes.
I often had thoughts of going to live overseas.
That's right.
And I still do.
You also had another one, which was to continue to smoke.
Oh, I did. That was a New Year's resolution. That was a few years back. I was still smoking at this point.
Good for you. Glad to see you can commit to something.
I kept on with the smoking. I didn't drop that. My ambition there did not fade. I had my Camels, which I smoked. I had my Zippo lighter. I had my whole little paraphernalia that came with it. The little cans of petrol that you used to fill up the Zippo lighter with. My flints.
Yes, that's right. Zippos are just full of cotton wool and you just poured petrol onto it.
That's basically, and then you lit it and it was like a flamethrower. And there were clever ways of lighting your Zippo as well. You could do it on your thigh if you were really super duper.
Those were the days.
Yes. Oh. Obviously not your bare thigh.
Oh, no.
Not your naked thigh, a pair of jeans or something. Searching for some company. Feel the rhythm dance with me. Then be by blue seem out of place. Now the words in a party face. Party face. Dance, dance on the floor. Dance, dance through some more. Dance, dance through the heat. Yes. Right. So, yes, I was definitely smoking at this time.
Good.
But I had moved to Brighton permanently in the December.
All right. May I just ask you, though, was that a conscious, I'm done with London, or was it necessity?
Yes.
Or,
yes. Okay. It was very much London I'm fed up with. I wasn't doing any of the things I thought I would be doing. I was living at a house owned by a friend of mine's parents.
Okay.
They had gone away. He had moved back in and life was actually wasn't very easy.
Yeah.
I don't think he was happy with me being there still. In fact, I believe I was in his rooms or what had been his rooms. And it didn't work out, really. So that didn't work out. So that was one of the things that drove me away.
Okay.
Also, in the interim, Penny, I had met somebody in 1985 who lived in Brighton and prompted me to move to.
But were you in love?
Well, I was in love, but it was a fruitless love, as it turned out. It was a short-lived romance that I perhaps saw too much of. But what's strange about that is it comes up in this entry. So there were two things that had bought me But there was a third burning excitement that was going on, was that I had decided I was going to buy a cinema.
Do you know what? I laugh, and yet that makes total sense.
Yeah, it does. So Brighton had a cinema that had been the Brighton Film Theatre, which had been owned by the BFI for many years. Mm. It was one of Brighton's original cinemas.
Right.
It was situated just down from the clock tower on North Street. It was Brighton Film Theatre, then it became Cine Scene.
Oh, Cine Scene.
And then Miles Byrne owned it for a bit.
Right.
Not that it was ever a porn cinema. But but of course it was very run down, but it was a beautiful cinema, and I'd used to go there when I initially lived in Brighton at my grandmother's. And
I'm really getting on board. I want to buy one now. Let's buy one.
I was going to do all sorts of things, and you may think this is crazy, but I had a friend who worked as a film location caterer, and he had said he would be able to find people who might want to back this kind of venture.
Nice.
So I went on a mission. I discovered that it was going to be turned into a Ponderosa Steakhouse.
Just what Brighton needed.
So I was appalled by this. So I then started a campaign. I had a petition. Mm. I wrote to actors, actresses, directors. And I got, you know, some famous people on board, people writing letters. So Maggie Smith supported it. Oh, Laurence Olivier supported it. A lot of hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha. You created hoo-ha.
I created a hoo-ha.
Oh my God, I'm excited.
I was excited. I was excited because I was in a new town. I was in a new place.
Yep.
You know, I was actually going to be doing something.
You were going to be doing
I loved the idea of doing. Yeah. You can imagine programming for an independent cinema. So back then I wanted to show all sorts of foreign films and have special occasions, TV festivals, you know, everything that everybody does kind of now.
I'm so sorry that we're sat here doing this, because it ultimately means it didn't happen. But I just feel that it is so thrilling. What an idea. And you are the person to do this.
I was the person to do it. And even at one point, Romain Hart of Mainline Pictures was going to come on board. And we were going to have Screen by the Sea. It was going to be Screen by the Sea. Call me good, call me bad, call me anything you want to, baby. But I know that you're sad, and I know I made you happy with the woman that you never had. Baby, I'm your man. Don't you know that, baby, I'm your man. You bet. So it was all very exciting, and it was all happening at this point. Now, there had been bits, I'd done an interview, I think, at this point on the radio, but there's certainly been something about it in the newspapers. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Bedford came out of the woodwork, because Mr. Bedford had been the projectionist at the Cine Scene. And at this point, I hadn't been able to go in it, I hadn't been able to look at it. Mm. But Mr. Bedford turned up at my doorstep. Wow. Saying, I have a key. I have a key to this place, young man. And so what he was going to do was take me to the Cine Scene. We were going to go inside and see what the state of it was. I got up early to be ready for Mr. Bedford, and he arrived on time, and we set off for the cinema.
How old do we think Mr. Bedford was?
Well, Mr. Bedford was probably in his 50s. Actually,
I'm seeing an Ealing comedy type person.
Well, I describe him in a bit, so I don't really want to say too much about him, because I know you want to lure me into talking about him. My memory of him is that he was in a rain mac, that he was wearing glasses, he was very thin, very gaunt, but with an air, I suspect, of sadness about him, because he was no longer the projectionist there, but he was projectionist at the ABC. So he was still working there.
He was still in the profession.
He was still in the profession, but he was working at the ABC. And I do remember an occasion later where I went to get the key from him again. And the Blue Rinse Brigade ladies that were usherettes there regarding me with some Disdain.
Deep disdain, I should imagine. All right. Oh, my goodness. Okay, there's Mr. Bedford. We're ready to roll.
We are. And it's quite funny what I write here. And I don't know quite why I wrote it as I have done. But it was a rainy, cold, depressing moment. Full stop. Open brackets. I think I meant morning. Exclamation mark, close bracket. So why didn't I just cross moment out and write morning? Because it's not like I didn't, and I'm going to show you a correction on the previous page.
Yes, you correct me.
I've just crossed through the word. But anyway, it was a rainy, cold, depressing morning. Somewhat similar to the day we are living through today.
Yes.
We wandered around the cinema. It needs a lot of work doing to it. Rain coming through the roof, mould on the walls, new projectors, redecorating, alterations. But I still want it. It's beautiful. That's a funny description.
Because it will have been a cinema for a long time, wouldn't it? Since the probably 20s
Yeah,
or 30s.
I think it was originally called the JC, and I think it was about 1920. It was one of the first proper cinemas in Brighton.
Yeah, so it would be just chocker with atmosphere and all the rest of it. So I can well picture how you would have fallen in love.
Yeah, and just the whole going through the foyer. It was out on North Street, the booth. And you went in and you went down a little alleyway and then you got into the cinema and it opened up and around the back and it was huge. Of course, what is it now?
McDonald's?
It's Burger King. So if you ever go into Burger King, think this was a beautiful old cinema.
Oh, exciting. So from your kind of supporters in the hoo-ha, would you have had any sense of the kinds of monies that you might be able to get hold of or that it would need? You calculate that kind of stuff.
Well, at this point, the next step on from this was to have an architect come and have a look at it, which I did do. It was Nicholas Quirk, cinema owner.
Proprietor.
I was looking forward to being that. But anyway, it's beautiful. It's becoming my life. So I was obviously pinning a hell of a lot on this ambition. We went for a drink afterwards in the Cricketers. I got very emotional. Mr. Bedford, he is a charming yet sad man. He sees himself as some business type man, yet he is so seedy.
Had the raincoat come off at this point?
Presumably. He was obsessed with my first impression of him. I couldn't say seedy. So tell me, what did you think of me when you met me? I thought, what is this seedy man doing at my door?
I hope no one sees me with this seedy man.
Yes, in his raincoat.
Ooh, yeah, that's a bit worrying.
His lank, dank hair.
I'm picturing Charles Hawtrey or something.
Well, you might not be far wrong, actually. A lonely man. He drinks in pubs on his own. And though I could be wrong, I think he's a very repressed gay. So I could be wrong.
I don't think we're libelling him. I doubt he's around.
He might be, Mr. Bedford. Hope may you never find where I live and turn up on my doorstep again. Seedy. You didn't tell me that, Nicholas. You didn't tell me I was seedy. You horrible, horrible man. Because I believe that's exactly how he sounds.
You're talking about the Cricketers in the Lanes?
I am referring to that Cricketers.
I love that pub.
Wasn't it amazing?
Do you remember the woman who ran it?
Oh, the landlady. She was a star.
She used to take people up on coaches to theatre things. She was, because she had a pub in London, the story went. And do you remember there was a pot man and he was special, but he had that thing when it was time, he just used to walk around the pub and he was saying, "Time, please." But it just came out as herpes.
Yes, I do remember. So funny. I do remember him, but I don't think I ever thought he was saying herpes. Though probably we're in there at the same time on some occasions.
Oh my God, we could have just sat there. You could have been with your strange, seedy friend in the, you know, coat talking about your cinema plans.
And you could have been there.
And I would have been there with my disco gear on. Probably heading off for something exciting. Although, wait, what day did we say this was?
It was a Sunday.
Oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. I can't remember if there was music in the Jolly Old Cricketers.
Well, it's very authentic pub, wasn't it? I mean, it was very authentic. It was full of... And particularly of that type, when you think of, you know, when you look at Brighton Rock and the characters in there, she was straight out of that. Now, she was a blue rinse.
Oh, she was,
she was Wynne.
I remember. It was Winnie. Yeah.
Winnie. And loved. And it was always very theatrical in there.
It was.
So I think they might have had music.
All right. Well, what might have been on? What were we listening to then?
Oh, well. Penny. The number one at the time was West End Girl, Pet Shop Boys. Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar. And I think, actually, if I'm not mistaken, there was a very gay element to the Cricketers.
Camp, I think, was the word.
Well, I think it was camp. You know, so that would have been a very appropriate song from the very camp Pet Shop Boys.
Very true, very true.
So we've got Whitney Houston was in the charts with, for the first time, I believe, with Saving All My Love For You. Ooh. What a song that was. I loved that.
What a song and what a waste. Bobby Brown. Yeah, good makeup. Woman. Shit man.
Yeah. Mm. And then we had Aled Jones with Walking in the Air, the original.
He just hijacked that, didn't he? Because there was a different person that sang it on The Snowman.
Oh, is it a different person? So it's not Aled Jones.
It's not Aled. Aled just was like his agent was on it in a heartbeat and then they released it. So no, The Snowman, the boy singing The Snowman is not Aled Jones.
I don't think I'm ever going to come across this in the diary, but I do have a little anecdote to share regarding Aled Jones.
Share away.
Can I share?
Please do.
So I received a phone call once from this girl who it turned out I'd worked with at a theatre. And I'd been very nice to her. You know, I'd just been kind and things. Good. And this is what she told me on the phone and she wanted to meet me. So I thought, oh, well, it is 8 years ago, but maybe... But she didn't want to meet in a pub and she said, could she come to my house? And I was all a little bit concerned by that. I was a little bit concerned. But anyway, I said yes. But I let everybody know and said, you know, if you don't get a phone call from me, something awful has happened. Yeah. I'm lying dead in my flat.
I know.
And as it turned out, it was probably a good... precaution because she was bonkers. She was absolutely bonkers.
Oh no.
But she had three obsessions and they were Jesus Christ, Aled Jones, and me.
The Holy Trinity.
Anyway, back to base. We had a good drink and chat, and I was so excited by my plans. I desperately needed to talk to someone.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to talk. I wanted to talk with a friend. Yep. Well.
Who'd you get?
I stupidly rang Bernie after what I wrote yesterday.
Oh, man, now we don't know. Something big happened between you and Bernie and we don't know. Can't you give us a little thumbnail sketch?
So when I mentioned I may have fallen in love, Bernie was the person,
the guy
I had fallen in love with.
I got it.
And had in fact moved myself down to Brighton 4. But it didn't happen. Obviously, it was too late. It found somebody else while waiting for me to come down from London.
Moved on. Didn't deserve you.
Yeah. Ironically, he is a very good friend now.
Sorry, you've matured and it's all lovely.
Well, and I think the day before, I think what I'd been writing about was the fact that he never rings me. Oh. Even though he said that he didn't really want to go out with me anymore.
Oh, I see.
I still seem to somehow
think, I get it.
Had I turned into a stalker? I do not know. Maybe. Okay.
Bernie, if you're listening, I'm getting a very different picture now.
Yeah.
Take that all back, soz. No, I try to resist being last on your list, but no other man's gonna do. So I'm saving all my love for you. It's not very easy living.
He didn't want to go out for a drink. I so needed someone to talk to. He would have been my consolation. Instead, and I don't like the fact that I've written instead, actually, because I ended up going out with Lulu and Anthony.
Lulu and Anthony, if you are listening, I'm sure it doesn't mean that you were second best.
No, they certainly weren't second best. But it's there. Instead, I was feeling they were second best, clearly, because they weren't.
Yeah.
Bernie. Anyway.
Were they a sounding board for your excitement?
Well, more than that, you see. So Lulu was a very good friend who I'd known before I moved down to Brighton. And she lived in Roundhill Crescent, which is where I was living at this time. So lived in the same street as Lulu. Anthony was her boyfriend, and Anthony was an architect.
Hello. Well, chitching.
In his last year, I think. Was it in his last year or last couple of years as an architect?
Right.
So he was the person that was going to come along and we were going to go in and this is one of the things we discussed that evening.
Okay.
Is that he would come along with me to the cinema. We would get the keys from Mr. Bedford
CD.
Again. And the CD Mr. Bedford.
CD Mr. B.
And we would go and have a look at the cinema and he would be able to say, well, this would be an approximate kind of costing.
Good.
And this is what it could look like. But bear in mind, we still had to stop it being turned into a Ponderosa steakhouse.
That's true. That's a different kind of battle.
Yeah. So there were two battles going on.
Right.
There was the battle to actually get the cinema
secured. Yep.
and saved.
Yep.
Save the cinema and then to buy it.
This is quite a big project now you talk about it. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish it.
And I had to do a whole business plan. I need to have costings for how much it would cost to repair it and put projectors and have it running.
Yeah.
And then what kind of program we would have. Obviously, I was way, way, way more excited by the program we would have.
Of course.
As opposed to... How much does that cost?
Nick, how much do we sell the popcorn for? I don't know. I'm programming. Sort it out.
What do they charge at the Odeon? Charge 20p less.
Not a bad business plan, to be honest.
Anyway, I ended up going out with Lulu and Anthony. I enjoyed the drink, but I wanted something more than friendship.
Uh-oh. Cover your ears, listeners.
I wanted love. To be loved. And at the moment, that means Bernie.
Bernie, we have got you in our sights.
Yeah. Well, when I met, it was so good.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Always.
What happened?
Yeah.
Was it me? Does he not like me? Why doesn't he fancy me anymore?
God.
Why do I love him?
Why?
Why?
So
why? Why? Why?
Do you actually say why?
Yeah, well, almost. I've got 3 question marks. Okay. After it. Why?
Oh, I don't know, because that's how it was.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I've got over it.
Yeah, obviously. The next day.
Yes, I was clearly a bit maudlin. It was, I feel. The January weather making me maudlin and lovelorn.
Yeah, I can see it.
Because I was lovelorn.
All those things in January, the future, a bright, exciting future, combined with the very sad, depressing end of something. And here it was, end of Bernie.
Yeah, end of Bernie, end of podcast.
And so we come to the end of this episode of Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. Thanks for listening and join me next week when Nicholas takes us on another rummage through his past.